Hi, everyone. Martin Zender with you and Dan Sheridan in Dearborn, Michigan. 1 Corinthians 4:1. Thus let a man be reckoning with us as deputies of Christ and administrators of God's secrets. He has made us this for you in this series. We are administrators of God's secrets. We're not that because we're geniuses. We're that because we study the Word of God and we correctly cut it and we're unashamed workmen. God has made us that as well. We owe all of this to our Lord and Savior, and we're very thankful we're in this position and that you're able to benefit from it.
Yeah, God does not choose the wise of the world to herald his message.
Which explains
why you and I are sitting here.
Our phenomenon here.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly. He doesn't choose. He chooses the stupidity of the world, that he may be disgracing the wise. Notice it's disgrace. It's a disgrace.
The wise are someday going to be embarrassed about all the things that they thought were...
Yeah.
That they thought passed for wisdom.
Yeah.
And, yeah, but he uses us, like I say. God's not trying to look like a genius and failing. A lot of people mock God because they think, Noah's Ark? Are you kidding me? That's ridiculous. They think God's trying to look smart and failing. He's purposely using his foolishness to confound the wise.
Exactly.
So we talked about the secret of lawlessness, and now we have its opposition here. We have the secret of godliness.
Devoutness in the Concordant Version. I like that much
better. Oh, the Concordant says devoutness.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Let me read 1 Timothy 3, where this verse occurs, verse 14 to 16, because this is important. These things I am writing to you, though expecting to come to you more quickly. Yet, if I should be tardy, that you may know, be perceiving how one must behave in God's house. So what's the subject here?
Behavior.
It's behavior. It's behavior. And the behave in God's house, and this, by the way, God's house is not that building down the street that has a steeple in front of it, which is the ecclesia of the living God, the pillar and base of the truth. And avowedly, Paul says, great is the secret of devoutness, which was manifested in flesh, justified in spirit, seen by messengers, heralded among the nations, believed in the world, taken up in glory. Now, the King James and other versions reads, God was manifest in the flesh, and they try to use this verse to prove that Christ is a member of a Trinity or something, but this has nothing to do.
Where did they get the word God? How could they just throw that in there?
Because the word theos in the Greek looks very similar to how we have here, which was manifest in the flesh, which was, and there's that theta there looks different in different manuscripts.
Really?
And so, but the point being here is the subject here is devoutness. It's not regarding the word becoming flesh and tabernacling among us. That's not what this passage is about. This passage, as we recall, is about what? It's about behavior.
Yeah.
So was the secret of lawlessness. Right now it's operating secretly, lawless behavior, right? And it's going to be culminated in the lawless one.
Right
now we have the secret of devoutness. People don't know what it really means to be devout today. They think it all has to do with outward, religious exercise.
Yeah, they don't know where it comes from either. They don't know the source of devoutness.
Exactly. So in this passage here, Paul's saying, avowedly great is the secret of devoutness, because in this letter to Timothy, he's talking about behavior, conduct. And you and I herald the evangel of God's grace, which is apart from works. It's apart from conduct.
Mm-hmm.
But we... say that the grace of God leads us to the right conduct. You have to have the right message before you have the right life.
Yeah,
Romans
I like that.
1
yeah.
through 11 comes before Romans 12 through 16. Don't worry about the behavior. First, you get the teaching right. Then the behavior follows. Ephesians 1 through 3 first, then Ephesians 4, 5, and 6. And this is the secret of devoutness. And it's which was, and I think Paul is describing here, if you look in verse 16, the whole career of devout behavior. The whole career of it, because it starts off, which was manifested in flesh, and I think that's referring to human beings, people who believe Paul's message. And what do believers enjoy?
Justification.
Yeah, you cannot behave right unless you're justified. And notice it's justification in spirit.
In other words, you can't behave right unless you know that God completely accepts you apart from your sin.
Apart from your sin, right.
Okay.
So, and then it says, seen by messengers, who's watching us right now, according to Ephesians 3:10?
The celestial realm is
looking on
Paul
us.
Paul says we're a theater to men and to messengers.
Isn't that a we are a theater.
We're a theater.
Heralded among the nations.
Nobody's heralding our good behavior. They should be, because we are walking circumspectly before man and God.
Well, in what way is it heralded?
That's what I'd like to know.
In Titus chapter 1, Paul says this, "Paul, a slave of God, yet an apostle of Jesus Christ, in accord with the faith of God's chosen, and a realization of the truth which accords with devoutness." And so what is Paul doing here? Paul's evangel brings before us, notice the title here, in 1 Timothy 3 talks about the ecclesia of the living God. Whenever you see the living God, it's always contrasted with idols. And men always imitate idols in their behavior. Why were the Greek cities always warring with each other? Because they were imitating their city gods who always warred with each other.
Especially Mars.
Yeah, and so they imitated their gods. Mm-hmm. And so when we're heralding the truth about the living God, we have the right teaching that brings justification. And then also when you have the right God, you have the right behavior that follows. You can only have the right behavior when you have the right God. You will always imitate your God. Remember in Romans 1, Paul talks about they didn't glorify God as God and they didn't mm-hmm. thank him. So what did they do? They worshiped idols. And then what happened?
He turned them over to the lust in their heart.
Exactly. Yep. So this is where devoutness comes from. And it's heralded among the nations in this sense through the right message about the right God, and it leads to right behavior. And notice it says it's believed in the world.
Is this by believers, do you think?
Absolutely. Okay. Believed in the world. And what happens next? What is the goal? Taken up in glory. That is the whole career of devoutness. It's summing up the whole, what is going on today through Paul's evangel is the right God is being proclaimed, thus the right behavior. Remember the context of 1 Timothy is behavior in God's house.
Yeah.
And the whole career starts with justification and leads to being taken up in glory.
That's a good point. Right God equals right behavior.
Yeah.
I think that's a key to understanding why this is a secret, because the law was presented to Israel as if you do this, you will become righteous.
Yeah.
That was in place if anybody could do law. And so the majority of Christians in the world believe that you do good things by trying hard to do good things, by setting laws upon yourself, because they all want to still tack up the Ten Commandments on the walls of schools and government buildings as if that's still a viable means to godliness. But they're not privy to the secret of godliness. The secret of godliness is not that you become godly by obeying outward laws and commandments, but you become godly by submitting yourself to the right teaching. Now that's unheard of. I can see where that would be a secret. Now,
this is what Paul says in Acts 26:20. Now, I know some people say, well, the word repentance doesn't belong in our message. Well, Paul used it, but it's not an institution that men have made it, like repenting as well. I have to do certain things.
Or a formula. They make repentance of.
Now, it's a change of mind. Now, notice what Paul says. Paul is speaking before King Agrippa, right? And this is what he says. He goes, "I did not become stubborn as to the heavenly apparition, but first to those in Damascus, besides in Jerusalem also, besides to the entire province of Judea and to the nations, I reported that they are to what? Be repenting and turning back to God and engaging in acts worthy of repentance." Before Paul went to these Gentiles, they were acting like their gods. Mm. And so Paul is saying, here is the living and true God. Embrace this one. Forsake these stupid idols. They're stupid. It's the unknowable God, like he was when he was in Acts 17 at the Areopagus. And now he's saying, here's the true and living God. And it's beneficial for you to embrace this one, because knowing this God will lead you on the right path, the right kind of behavior.
Yeah, the perfect contrast is there in Romans chapter 1, there that they did not glorify or thank him as God. Therefore, God gave them over to the lusts of their hearts and their flesh. And that is always the result of holding to a wrong image of God.
And by the way, just real quick, when it's Paul says that his message was to repent and turn back to God, engaging acts worthy of repentance, that was his whole message as a whole. His message to the unbeliever was, those gods aren't real. Let me tell you about the true God. Let me tell you about his son and what his son has accomplished for you. Those who embrace that, and then Paul would instruct him in the right path, just like he tells us. We are told what things to do in Paul's letters. What is the right behavior? What is the conduct that is becoming those who believe in the evangel of the grace of God?
Yes, the key being who believe in the evangel of the grace of God. Ephesians 5, verse 9 and 10 has always been a favorite passage of mine along this
line. Lay it on me, man. Lay it on me.
Paul says, "As children of light be walking, for the fruit of the light is in all goodness and righteousness and truth."
Ah.
The fruit of the light.
Got to have the light first.
Light before fruit. Christianity and even Judaism was fruit before light. In other words, if you behave yourself, God's going to be nice to you. If you behave yourself, you're going to get a revelation. But now the message is, if you get a revelation, when you accept that revelation and it comes into your heart, then you will behave yourself.
Now notice that verse you just read. What went before it? Verse 5, for this you perceive, knowing that no paramour at all or unclean or greedy person who is a what?
Idolater.
Idolatry has any enjoyment of the allotment in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Here we have the true God and his image, Jesus Christ, contrasted with idolatry.
Mm-hmm.
Two different gods. You have the one true God and his son, his only image, and then you have idols. And both of them lead in opposite directions.
That's why God didn't want an image made of himself.
See, people think we're against talking about conduct. We're not.
Well, people get nervous when you start talking about conduct because they think, oh, you're bringing us back to the law of Moses.
No.
As if Paul doesn't talk about conduct, but you get there by a whole different route.
Exactly.
Today. The law told you not to covet. The law told you not to murder. However, Paul says that those are the nations in Romans 2. I think those who have no law by nature do the things of the law. And we know that if the Spirit of God dwells in us, then you won't kill anybody. You won't murder somebody because the first fruit of the Spirit is love.
But even though you may.
Yeah, you may. Yeah, sure. Yeah. You might still kill somebody, obviously. You know, you get mad at your mailman or you get mad at the clerk at the grocery store.
Yeah.
Of course, you're going to want to kill him.
Yeah, and if you get mad with your fellow co-host on radio, you might have to kill him.
You could do that now, and grace was.
It's all good.
It's all good, brother. Grace is super exceed a case like that. Man, you just go kill your. Grace goes super exceed. You ain't going to outkill Grace. What are you going to do? Kill somebody and think Grace ain't going to come on the scene? I beg to differ with you. Now,
I got another verse.
You got another verse?
Well, I got another verse too.
I got a great one.
Now, Paul says this, for the saving grace of God made its advent. I love that word. It means to shine forth to all humanity, training us. What does grace train us to do? Training us that, disowning irreverence and worldly desires, we should be living sanely and justly and devoutly in the current eon.
That is a killer verse.
Anticipating that happy expectation, even the advent of the glory of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gives himself for us, that he should be redeeming us from all lawlessness. There's lawlessness as an opposite to devoutness, and be cleansing for himself a people to be about him. We're all about God.
Yeah, all based on the saving grace of God
zealous
making its advent.
For ideal
fantastic. What a verse.
Acts.
Well, where'd you find that one?
I think it's in the scripture.
Oh,
okay. I just wrote that
was
myself,
it,
actually.
That was good. I thought you made that up. Let me see this again. I read this out of your Bible. For the saving grace of God made its advent to all humanity, made its advent, training us. I like that. The grace of God trains us.
Grace trains us to live
grace
devoutly.
First, then. This goes back to my passage in Ephesians 5. As children of light, be walking the fruit of the light, goodness, righteousness, and truth. Folks, if you want goodness, righteousness, and truth, you don't get it by putting laws upon yourself. You don't get it by going back to the Ten Commandments. If you do that, then you are not privy to the secret of godliness. The secret of godliness is right behavior comes by apprehending a message. The message is one of pure grace. That's what we are heralding to you today. We got two more days left. I hope you join us tomorrow.